The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee. Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We're continuing our conversation with Eric Faddis, defense attorney and former prosecutor, about the systematic failures that led to the murders of Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia Decker. In the first part of our interview, we explored how family courts routinely grant dangerous parents access to their children despite glaring red flags. Now we turn to an even more troubling question. What happens when a judge orders something that could endanger children, and there's no way to enforce it? Travis Decker was ordered to take medication for his borderline personality disorder. He didn't. He was supposed to maintain stable housing. He remained homeless, living in his truck. He was required to provide a safe environment for his daughters. Instead, he took them to a homeless shelter where they slept among strange men with unknown backgrounds and mental health issues. And still the court said he could have unsupervised visits. This wasn't just one judge's mistake. This was a system working exactly as designed, prioritizing parental rights over children's lives, protecting judges from accountability while leaving parents hopeless to protect their babies. We're about to discuss, maybe uncomfortable for some viewers, we're going to talk about what parents should do when the law tells them to hand their children to someone they know is dangerous. We're going to examine why judges who make fatal decisions face no consequences. And we're going to confront the horrible reality that sometimes following the law means signing your children's death warrant. Eric Faddis has advised parents on both sides of these battles. He's seen good parents lose custody for minor infractions while dangerous parents maintain access despite major red flags. He understands the impossible position Whitney Decker found herself in on May 30th when Travis arrived for his visitation, knowing something was wrong, but being legally required to hand over her daughters. This is an interesting point about this guy. He was active. He wasn't some weird guy in the basement of his mom's house listening to Hall & Oates cassette tapes and coming up with a manifesto here.
He served
men without hats. You never know what he's listening to down there. I don't know why I'm going to those artists, but I think I can picture those cassette tapes. Bolter and the victim, Hoffman, they served together on a state board from 2016 to 2023. So they knew each other. It makes it a little darker, but there was like 45 people on this hit list. These were some of the early ones. I mean, what does that tell us about this? You know, was this some sort of, you know, hatred that you think maybe began back then? And how does that matter? How does that play into this? Obviously premeditated with the hit list, but having that connection, does that make this even more more damning that there was that personal connection there and professional connection?
Yeah, you know, I think as a current criminal defense attorney, you're thinking about what possible defense could this guy have? Mm-hmm. And I think the history behind what happened and the history between the accused and the decedent really cuts against some kind of not guilty by reason of insanity plea, which is something that he has to consider, because it shows it wasn't just some lone wolf who's acting on, you know, hallucinations, some animal telling him to kill people. It's really a concerted campaign that appears he planned out for a substantial period of time, shows premeditation. It tends to indicate that he knew what he was doing rather than, you know, some Looney Tunes guy who was just shooting into the abyss.
And he has some experience. He owns a security guard company. And what I found interesting is the name of the security guard company, Praetorian Guard Security Services. Sounds like nothing, just some sort of name. It's like, oh, I don't know what the Praetorian Guards, I believe, I think there was Roman soldiers that eventually rose up and killed the people they were protecting and then started inserting themselves into those positions. Little weird considering what took place here. Like, I want to know when he started the company, which I'm sure we could look up. And like, was this like an overall life goal for this guy, considering the name of the company?
Gosh, it seems like a really bad Freudian slip or kind of telling on himself in advance. It really creates a specter of, you know, was he signaling to folks at some point, hinting perhaps that he had these thoughts for the future about, you know, some massive overthrow of local or larger governments in a violent fashion? Certainly that name doesn't help.
With something like this, where it is so damning, again, this is like, obviously, we have officers who exchanged fire with him as well before they caught him. Not immediately after they caught him. Like, it took a long time. This was at the scene of one of the homes. And then many, 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 many hours later is when he was apprehended. So it's pretty cut and dry that this is the guy. There's not a lot of questions about that. Is there any room? I mean, obviously, a plea deal may make the most sense to, like, not have the death penalty. But where do you think this goes? Is this a guy that's going to plead not guilty and continue to go down the road of trying to fight the fight that he thinks he's fighting? Or where do you think this goes in a case like this, where we have no potential, real political assassinations here?
Yeah, you know, his possible defenses seem pretty limited from the outset. Clearly not self-defense. There's no evidence that someone else made him do it, that it was duress. There's no evidence of a credible choice of evils defense, like he had to do this or something worse was going to happen that a reasonable person would agree on. And so not guilty by reason of insanity is undercut in part by his manifesto and the plans and the deliberateness of his conduct. Do we come across some kind of conspiracy defense down the road, that this was like a false flag thing, or that he was some kind of patsy who took the fall for a larger political sect that is killing politicians? In today's society, I wouldn't be surprised if those sort of conspiracies are at least explored.
And obviously, the internet is already abuzz. You know, some think this is the guy who hit John O'Keefe, which I find very interesting. It's like, how? Why? This is, but, you know, follow the science. but what I do, you know, wonder about this, you know, is there more? Obviously, that's more of an investigative question, but it does make you wonder. So I'm just kind of asking just your opinion on this. Do you think this was another lone wolf? Because those do tend to be the most dangerous. They're out there. They're operating by themselves. They're seemingly able to get quite a bit put together. The guy got a fake cop car set up and the outfit. It's some lengths to go to. Some may wonder, did it take other people involved to do that? No, not necessarily. People can be crafty. But it does make you wonder, were others involved unwittingly, unknowingly in this to help him with this. Maybe he's like, I just want to put lights on my car. Some people do that. You can't imitate an officer, but some people still do it. Anybody who's been around this guy right now and may have unwittingly had some sort of connection to him and maybe, oh, that makes sense. That's why he asked me to do that. What's your advice for them right now?
Man, so long as they didn't have knowledge of what he was about to do, and also that they didn't give some material aid with the hope that he carried this thing out, mm-hmm. they would probably be protected from being an accomplice, being charged as an accomplice. But still, it's questionable because, you know, people make offhand remarks even during these seemingly mundane transactions where if he's, you know, buying a cop uniform from a Halloween store or something.
Yeah.
You know, so that in itself isn't a problem. He starts making some remarks that raise some eyebrows and where a reasonable person would have said, hey, maybe I should either ask for or tell somebody. Then we're starting to get into a risky territory with these folks. And I think they need to be very cautious about, you know, what information they provide and whether they have an attorney assisting to protect them.
From a former prosecutor's standpoint, does this look like a pretty open and shut case where the evidence is against this guy, at least as far as him being locked up for the rest of his life or getting the death penalty? Or is this something on the defense attorney side? Would you advise a client to plead not guilty and try and argue this out and see if you can get some things minimized or whatnot? What would you advise someone at this point if you were to be in that role?
You know, according to the reports I've read, there is substantial evidence and it takes different forms. So there's video evidence, is my understanding, of him, you know, with a mask and in a cop uniform that I understand authorities can tie back to him. There is also witness evidence for the surviving people who were shot who would help identify what happened. He had this manifesto, allegedly, that laid out all of his plans, his intentionality. So those things right there are pretty darn problematic. You know, can he try to broker a plea agreement? Is it possible that political motivations could come into play from the federal government that might somehow afford some kind of leniency because he appears to be on the same side politically? Let's hope not.
God.
Let's hope that's not how it works. But in reality, is that something to at least ask about? I think it is.
That's a scary prospect. Like no matter what, I don't care what side anybody's on, should not be condoned. There should be no consideration given for the fact that this guy didn't like Democrats. But no, you're right. We are in a world where, yeah, I mean, I can see it. I can see it. Does he play that card? I mean, we'd have to know who you're going up against too, which might be kind of a crapshoot. But
yeah,
and you also have jurors that could look at that way too, if you were to get there.
Yeah, you know, and you look at, you don't want politics involved in what should be objective legal decision-making by prosecutors in the government, but history has shown that that's not usually how it plays out. You know, there are arguments that the Trump administration should not have pardoned the January 6th folks. They, some of them destroyed property, assaulted police officers, and folks who are on the left politically haven't received the same pardons for similar crimes. Mm-hmm. So is there political favor potentially in these decisions? Yes. And is it something that at least theoretically could play a role in Vance Bolter's case? Theoretically, yes.
That'd be a very scary precedent to set if he does go to trial on this and you get a not guilty or you get a hung jury. I think it'd be hard to get a not guilty. I think it'd be really hard to get that many people lined up to go, oh yeah, could it happen? Possibly. But that would be a scary place to be in because it would, if he were to be found not guilty, that's very much setting up a scene in a scenario where, oh, well, look, he can go get away with it. You're going to have a lot of people trying to go out there. It would be very Luigi Mangione-ish as well, because there's a lot of people concerned there. Could he get off? There is a possibility for that, even though truly, factually, he committed a crime, murdered someone. That's not a place we want to get to. And I don't know how you pull that back from there if we do start getting there. How do you correct something like that? I don't know.
You know, it's an important question. And I actually applauded the Trump administration and the federal government for how they've handled the Vance Bolter case so far. There haven't been like any excuses made. There hasn't been any unnecessary leniency. And I think that that speaks to their credit in terms of how they've handled it thus far. Let's hope it remains on that track and that political influences don't somehow cause this thing to go south even more.
Thus far being the key words. Eric Faddis, thank you, as always, former prosecutor and defense attorney. He's given us a chilling glimpse into the reality that protective parents face. Document everything. Pray the court listens and hope your children survive long enough for the system to catch up to what you already know, that they're in danger. Don't make things up, though. The second you make something up and make it sound worse than it actually is, over your actual solid facts, that will kill your credibility. Let the facts sink them. Let the facts sink the bad person. But you have to come with the facts. Documentation didn't save Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia Decker. Whitney had the evidence. She had Travis's mental health diagnosis. She had proof of his homelessness. She had his medication noncompliance, his decision to take the girls to a homeless shelter. She had everything the court should have needed to protect her daughters. What she didn't have was a judge willing to prioritize her children's safety over their father's rights. As we record this, investigators continue processing evidence from the Rock Island campground crime scene. The bloody handprints on Decker's abandoned truck, the zip ties and plastic bags scattered around where three little girls took their last breaths. The male blood samples that suggested Decker may have injured himself during or after the murders. Each piece of evidence tells the same story. This was preventable. The digital forensics team has uncovered more disturbing details about Decker's planning. Beyond the Google searches about fleeing to Canada, they found evidence. He researched the campground's isolation, the lack of cell service, the distance from main roads. He chose a killing ground where his daughter's screams would not be heard. Meanwhile, the legal system that enabled these murders continues unchanged. Today in courtrooms across America, judges are making the same calculations that killed the Decker sisters, weighing parental rights against child safety and choosing wrong, granting unsupervised visitation to parents with documented mental illnesses, substance abuse, violent histories, rolling the dice with the children's lives. The supervised visitation that Eric Faddis mentioned, that simple safeguard that could have saved these lives, remains unavailable or unaffordable for most families in Washington state. Supervised visitation can cost $50 to $100 per hour, with parents required to pay out of pocket. For a mother already struggling financially because she's the sole stable provider, it is often impossible. So she has a choice and it becomes bankrupt yourself for supervised visits or hand your children to someone dangerous and pray. Whitney Decker followed every rule. She didn't violate the custody order. She didn't deny visitation. She didn't alienate her children from their father. A cardinal sin that family courts punish more harshly than actual danger. She was the good parent who played by the system's rules. Her reward was planning three funerals. The Washington State Legislature will reconvene in January 2026. Already, child advocacy groups are drafting Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia Law legislation that would mandate supervised visitation when parents have documented mental illness and housing instability, otherwise known as being homeless. We create state-funded visitation centers. It would require family court judges to complete training on personality disorders and violence risk assessments. It's everything that should have existed before May 30th of 2025, but laws are only as good as the judge who enforces them. And as Eric explained, judges enjoy near absolute immunity for their decisions. The judge who sent the Decker girls to their death will face no investigation, no sanctions, no consequences. At most, they'll think twice before making the same fatal calculation again. At most, they'll be more careful with the next child's life. For parents currently trapped in this system, fighting to protect their children from a dangerous ex-partner, the message is clear. The law is not on your side. Document everything. Yes, file every motion, follow every procedure, but understand that compliance might not save your children. Sometimes, as Eric Faddis carefully didn't quite say, you have to choose between being legally right and keeping your children alive. The Travis Decker manhunt continues. Hundreds of officers, millions of dollars, the most sophisticated technology in law enforcement, all deployed to catch a man who never should have been alone with those girls in the first place. When they find him dead or alive, there will be press conferences and congratulations and talks of justice. But justice would have been Peyton reaching her 10th birthday, Evelyn losing another tooth, Olivia starting kindergarten. Justice would have been a system that listened to their mother's warnings. Justice would have been three little girls alive. The system failed Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia Decker. Don't let it fail your children, too. Tell me in the comment section what your thoughts are on this case, where it is, where it's going, and what needs to be changed in our system. Because this just keeps happening. Check that out on YouTube for the comments. Press subscribe there. If you're listening on the podcast platform, hit subscribe there so you don't miss any of our commentary. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's.
Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.